Hey Siri, how are the Blue Jays doing? God, Siri's kind of a pain in the ass. She never responds when I need her to.
Never around when I need you.
Hey Siri, how's the Blue Jays doing? Siri's like, rioting.
The Blue Jays are beating the Rangers 6-3 in the top of the 8th inning
okay.
game.
I don't care that much.
That was too much info.
Too much. Here's a picture of the left basement. I don't know. How does baseball work?
The left basement?
The left There's basement. No
Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Dawson, and joining me as always is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, how's it going?
Not too bad. How's it going with you?
Pretty good. I hear Toronto is rioting.
Apparently, yeah. And that, I have no idea if that means that we're winning or losing, because really, Toronto in the postseason in anything is just crazy because that never happens to us. So I really don't know if a riot is good or bad. It could go either way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and people joke, oh, what's a Canadian riot? A conversation on the streets? Like, yeah, with fires and it's like a normal riot, right? Like,
yeah, a little bit less rioty than some riots. But
maybe. Less gunplay. There's more climbing, but less gunplay.
Yeah. Oh, and chat room is telling us that Toronto is winning 6-3. I love how they say you're winning, LOL. I'm like, I don't follow baseball. Really, either team could be winning, and that could be me.
But we are the collective Canada, right? This is a Canadian show, and because there's only Toronto in the MLB, we have to cheer for the Blue Jays.
I guess that's true. That is true. I am a Toronto fan, just a Toronto hockey fan. So. Right. Yeah, but
they just assumed maybe, hey, you know, you might as well like split the bid and try to lose two times a year instead of one, right?
I guess that's true.
The Blue Jays are doing pretty good. I mean,
if we want to go that far, we could also say I could root for the Raptors and then I could lose three times a year.
Oh, yes. Thank you for I completely forgot that in terms of the NBA, we also have the Raptors that are the only Canadian team and they are not so great, but yeah.
So what have you been playing this week? Because I've been playing some really weird stuff that I swear to God actually gave me a headache. So
oh.
Have you been playing anything that's like super cool?
Yeah, well, I've sort of gone down a weird rabbit hole this last week.
Really?
Yeah.
So we both went down really weird rabbit holes then.
I mean, my rabbit hole was cool though. Like,
oh.
I gave it a pretty, this rabbit hole, highly recommended on the PS4. That's the Uncharted Collection. Since we last spoke, the review has been posted. I put a link in the chat here. I really liked it. It's definitely worth picking up on the PS4. And if you haven't played Uncharted, it's probably the best way to play Uncharted. I had a lot of people telling me, like, oh, you can do the PS Now thing. I didn't put this in the review because I figured it would be too negative, but I did try it. And PS Now is not that great. You know?
It's really not that great. I got really, really excited when Fat Princess was available, and I paid for it for a couple of months, and it was janky as hell.
Yeah,
so I don't know if you had a similar experience, but whoo-wee, that was difficult to play on.
Yeah, it's PS Now, I tried with the wireless. I tried like running an Ethernet cord from the office to the living room to play on a wired connection, which did help a little bit, but there's still that input lag where if you're playing on a specific difficulty, especially in Uncharted, you're missing those quick time events. You're missing those vital headshots to continue onwards in the gameplay. And it's just, it's not, and that's just gameplay and controls. Also, the fact that you're playing on PS3 graphics when you could be playing PS4 is, it's a big step up, especially for the original Uncharted. So if you're not convinced, you should definitely read the review. Because I really liked it.
I'm convinced.
You're convinced? So don't bother reading
still
it.
You still should go read the review, though, because okay. Ryan did a really good job.
But, yeah.
It is actually, the Uncharted Collection is available now, because I know when you were talking about it last week, it wasn't actually out yet. It came out Friday?
Yeah. It came out Friday, yeah. Yeah, it came out Friday. It was $75 Canadian, so probably, I think it's maybe $55 American.
That's not too bad.
It's not bad. And considering you're getting three games and two of those games are top-notch, while Uncharted 1 it you feel,
I was like, which one are you throwing under the bus?
I'll let you pick it up and you decide. For those who haven't played Uncharted at all, you should still definitely start with Uncharted, but it's going to be tempting for those who've played the whole series before to skip Uncharted 1. It, in hindsight of how great 2 and 3 are, 1 doesn't hold up. It's kind of like when you looked at the Gears of War remastering that they did this summer, and that they only did the first one, and everybody's complaint that it wasn't 2 or 3, because they made so many great improvements on 2 and 3 in that series. It's the same idea here. If this was just Uncharted remade, we wouldn't be having this conversation now twice, 2 weeks in a row. 2 and 3 are just superb and definitely worth playing, especially even if you've already played them. But
which I have not, so I'm really looking forward to this.
I think you're going to dig it. And they made some great changes to 1. They've got rid of the motion control. You used to have to, like, because it came out, it was like
so good.
Yeah, it was near a launch title for the PS3. So it's like, okay, you have to have motion, and you have to. Well, yeah, it was two terms of motion where, in order to throw a grenade, and I remember this vividly. I actually played in the palace, and my roommates are like, "What the hell are you doing?" And I'm doing this. I'm like, okay, I'm just aiming my grenade, guys.
I'm throwing grenades, guys.
Yeah,
this is totally how you throw a grenade.
Yeah, you arc it, you use the controller, and you just kind of like lean back like that. And then once you have the arc right, oh, then you get shot, and you react, and then your arc goes all messed up. The other thing was when you were balancing on, I'm doing all the movements. So if you're not watching the video show, you're missing out, because this is classic. So you're like balancing on logs on your legs, and you're using the controller to kind of balance yourself. It was terrible.
Oh, I would have hated that.
Yeah, but they got rid of it. They've brought a lot of improvements from 2 and 3 over to 1. And the fact that it's all three games in 1 is kind of unheard of in terms of value, and especially considering they went back and remastered all three of them. But no extra features. Only negative. Aww. Only negative. But yeah, it sent me down a weird rabbit hole in which for the rest of the week, all I did was play remastered games, and as I played them, I kind of thought to myself, what the hell am I doing? I could be playing like newer games, like, I don't know, The Witcher or Dragon Age, but those aren't even new. But I played like a bit of Master Chief Collection, and I think I've come around, Jocelyn. Halo's not a great game. Like the first one? The first Halo?
What? What?
Yeah, okay, like... I know, this is shocking. Just stay with me here. And for those who are listening at home, like, Ryan, how dare you? Like,
I need to just get a little soundbite of that.
Yeah, this is like when Jocelyn said the angry chicken is terrible, like the card. I hear the soundbite all the time. So I'm expecting that soundbite in the email any minute now. But no, Halo 1, the concerns you had with it were...
I don't even remember anymore. Now all I remember is Halo is terrible.
No. Halo is great, but Halo 1 is is this old game, and I was trying to remember like how old it was, and it's almost 15 years old. And the things that really jump out at me are, in comparison to the newer games, the combat is repetitive, and not as fun as you'd hope it would be on my standard difficulty play. Like, we were talking about playing on...
Okay.
Hard or normal, and I was playing on heroic and I kept dying, and it was super frustrating. And then like the corridor gameplay was also like, I've done it so many times, so maybe this was the one time that broke it for me, where it's like, I've seen this too many times, I think I need to like put this away.
How many times have you played it?
A lot, because I can't even think about it, like
all of the times.
Before we did Road to Halo 4, I probably would touch it, you know, once a year. Not all the way through, but yes, thank you for giggling. And I'm not saying Halo is terrible. You know, when it came out, it was...
No, you already said it. That's it. It's done. All right. Can't take it back now. It's
but what there. I will say is I skipped it. I ended up skipping Halo 1 after getting too frustrated with it. I was like, I've played this enough. I don't need to play it again. So I skipped to the meat of the Master Chief Collection, which was Halo 2 Anniversary. And man, they've really bumped up the graphics on that. And they replaced all, like, this is old news, but they replaced all of the in-game cinematics with Blur-developed in-game cutscenes. So you know those, like, really rad trailers that are, like, super computer-generated realistic? They did that for all the cutscenes in Halo 2. it's fantastic. It looks so great and makes you want to play through that game. But again, like, playing it, you can kind of feel that it's aged. It's aged, not poorly, just it's got, you got to blow the dust off it. There's some wrinkles on the old Chief, you know? Jeez, all this out of context could be terrible. But that all being said, I'm getting prepared for Halo 5, which is out in 2 weeks. We have an email about that.
Only 2 weeks? Holy crap.
Yeah, it's out in 2 weeks. It's out the same day as the Overwatch beta, which...
Much stuff comes out on the 27th. I was what super else is on the 27th? Because I found this really cool looking scary game that I bought today that comes out on the 27th, and I'm like, that's perfect. It says it's like an hour or two. It's very like Five Nights at Freddy's meets like Until Dawn meets Gone Home sort of a feel. Ooh. Like it seems like it's like everything all in one, like a little bit of like jumpy, scary horror, but a lot of psychological thriller and totally self-guided adventure games. So
it's made by, it's called like, The Park?
The Park, yeah. So I was so super excited when I saw this because I was like, this looks like a horror game I can get behind. There's no zombies. There's nobody jumping out at me too much with like big stabby things, like no quick time events. No, I don't have to do anything. It's just like a guided story experience. It's like you literally have one button to push and the only thing that button does is call out for your lost kid. That's it. So you just like move through and you try to find your kid, and that's the whole point of the game. And I'm like, this looks like it could actually be something I can really get behind. I'm going to stream it on the 27th. It'll be right before Halloween, right before I go down to Garrett's wedding. Perfect. And then now it's like, oh, you remember that thing that's on the 27th and this thing that's on the 27th? Well, now we're heading Overwatch to the 27th. And I'm just like, screw you, video games industry.
Yeah, and that gives you... I mean, let's for a second consider you aren't leaving for a week right after the park, but as soon as you get back, the 10th is just littered with awesomeness. I mean, not across the board, it's spread out if you're not too interested in Fallout 4, but you've got
Tomb Raider. I am interested in Fallout 4, though.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I'm doing a weird thing that I don't normally do, in that I'm lying to myself so I don't pick up Halo 4. I'm like, Fallout 4 doesn't look that great. I'm not going to pick it up. It kind of looks like Halo. It's terrible, you know? That's a lie, of course. But I'm more considering picking up Rise of the Tomb Raider than Fallout 4 because I want to get Legacy of the Void as well.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So I don't know.
It's like there's so many things. I remember when we had Janice on and we were talking about the things that are coming up. And I was kind of like, oh, yeah, there's this thing and that thing. But they seemed like, first of all, they seemed spread out. Second of all, it seemed to be, you know, like there was some things I was interested in, but most of them I wasn't. And now I'm just like, oh, my God, I have, you know, like Garrett's wedding to go to. Then there's BlizzCon. Then there's Extra Life. Then I'm moving back to Ontario. And like all of these things like stacking on top of each other one weekend after another. And then I'm just like... And all of that starts like 2 weeks from now. Yeah. Oh my God. Total panic mode.
it's not like I keep thinking.
At least I'm not working in November. That would be terrible.
That's true. Wow. That's true. I look at, no, Siri, no, stop it. I think that I'm going to throw my phone out. I look at these releases and it's really those two dates that stick out as a crap. How am I going to wrap my mind around all of this, as well as I don't have quite as packed a schedule as you do. Mine's more spread out, where like right after this I'm gonna edit and post the show and then probably go to bed because I gotta get up at like crazy early to get to my in-laws to drive to Boston for the weekend. So that'll be fun, the drive and the earliness. I don't know what I'm trying to save myself from, but so yeah, I've been playing a lot of remastered games. And
there you go.
Yeah, thank you. And the one thing I do want to mention about the Master Chief Collection, as opposed to the Uncharted Collection and all the other collections that Ryan seems to want to get his hands on, and that the Master Chief Collection is really a love letter to Halo fans. There is so much content packed into this game. I was able to boot up... original Halo multiplayer, where everyone uses pistols and everyone gets headshots and you die immediately, but I just had these flashbacks to LAN play because it feels exactly like the original Halo, playing with your friends, if your friends were better than you. So it's really cool. And there's also the Halo channel, which I've been playing around with, that kind of showcases everything about Halo. There's videos on everything. It's not just a bunch of text like the way BioWare does it. It's all video. There's video series on Nathan Fillion's character all the way to some alien race that appeared in the book. Like, it's all narrated, everything. It's superb. But the best part is that, you remember when we were playing Halo 4? You probably don't, because you probably blocked that out of your memory.
I literally don't remember anything about pretty much the entire Halo series, because I played it so quickly just to get through it, and I did the exact same thing with Halo 4. Like, it was just like, have to finish this, gamers in is in an hour, go, 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 done, yay, never have to Halo again.
So I think that if you were to pick up an Xbox One and the Master Chief Collection, I would suggest starting, because the story for Halo is pretty simple and just a quick paragraph, because it's an older game, so it's really easy to wrap your mind around. It's like, okay, they're at the ring, they find the Flood, the Covenant are trying to activate the ring to wipe out humanity and all life, but they don't know that, and shit hits the fan, as well as the Halo ring, and everybody, the Halo ring explodes, and the Master Chief leaves, and he successfully takes his helmet off if you get the legendary ending. The end. But Halo 2 actually feels like a much bigger game, and the fact that they've really remastered it is really cool. And the reason I bring up Halo 4 is that there was a lot of story content missing in Halo 4, which were part of the terminal videos. So you had to, like, treasure hunt for these terminals to find them and unlock these videos that explain the whole backstory between Halo 3 and 4. Those are all unlocked in the Halo channel and available to anybody who has an Xbox One. So those were really cool to watch, to get to finally, how many years since Halo 4, to finally understand what the hell is going on in that game and why.
Is it
the
2 years or 3 years? I feel like it's three.
I think it is three.
We had Terpster on for our Halo episode, that was episode like 40 of Gamers In.
It was before, it was our first year. So
it was our first live video episode, I believe, because we used Google Hangouts.
Yeah. So remember Google Hangouts?
It's literally like the first video uploaded to YouTube.
Oh, well, yeah. So it's been a while, and finally understanding what the hell those characters that they introduce in the game, like the Didact and the Librarian and the Prometheans, and how it's all just sort of like one big mystery. But if you watch all these terminal videos, and there's terminal videos for 2 that sort of lead into 5, which is really weird. But anyways, you can watch them all, and they're really good. And I also played Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. I don't know why. I had this really weird week where all I wanted to do was play old games with slightly updated graphics for full price. I don't. Now, I owned all these games for some reason as well. Like, I didn't actually just go out and buy them all.
Buy a whole bunch of remastered collections.
Yeah. I blame Uncharted, but I also blame the fact that, you know, Halo 5 and Tomb Raider are two of my most anticipated titles for the fall. So it's been a good ride, but I think I'm ready for the new stuff now.
Yeah.
Please, God.
Well, I played something new-ish. Mm-hmm. I think it came out probably about a month ago. I played The Beginner's Guide, which is the newest game from Davey Reardon. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that made The Stanley Parable, anyways.
Oh, cool.
Which that came out like 2013, which I thought was really weird. Like, it seems like it was...
There was
last year or something. But
yeah, there was a mod. The mod.
It was a mod
out
in 2011, and then it was a standalone game in 2013.
Oh wow! I could have sworn we played that like earlier this year.
Right?
Weird. What's happening? Are we adults now? Is that how that works?
No.
Oh,
we are not adulting.
Perfect.
We are not adults.
I wondered. Like, I don't know. Like,
well, maybe
when you lose,
but not me.
Maybe we've been abducted, and that's how we lost time. If we're not adults, then that's what's happened.
Totally.
Okay, moving on. So, just so the overloads don't catch on, just keep going.
So I played The Beginner's Guide, I think almost to the end. I don't really know.
The end?
Does it even end? I don't know.
Just keep shrugging. I don't know. I haven't played this yet, but I do have it in my library because people were saying, this is a game you should experience. So is it a game I should experience?
I don't know.
You don't? What?
So well, I...
What did you do?
It's literally like a big, huge, long, like, rabbit hole. Okay. And I'm pretty sure I know, based on, like, where the game ends, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think
the Ender's Guide.
Leading into the Stanley Parable as like the end of the, or like the ultimate game that this guy develops. I don't know. Because basically, essentially what it is it's like Davy taking you through the games developed by this guy named Coda. And at points you think that that might actually be him, but then you think it's somebody else again, and then it just, it flips back and forth. It's just, it's real mind-bendy. Like, I literally had a headache when I stopped playing. And I was just like, there were a couple of points in the game that I was kind of like, oh, this is starting to like get really interesting and is ramping up and is actually making me feel the way I think it's supposed to make me feel, which is a little bit depressed or a little bit anxious, or, you know, like it did really evoke strong feelings given mm-hmm. the fact that it's a very, very, very basic game and you're just like listening to this guy talk in your head the whole time. But it takes a good hour to get to that point.
Okay.
And my God, is it boring?
Oh, no. Well, is it a British guy talking? That's my first question.
No.
Well, geez. Man, you had one job, narrative video game, and it was to cast a British man. Or woman. I mean, we're not playing favorites here. Okay, so you're an hour in. They clearly state on the Steam page, this isn't a spoiler, because obviously you're supposed to know this. It's an hour and a half experience, no traditional mechanics, no goals or objectives. Creator of Stanley Parable.
Yeah.
Tells a story of a person struggling to deal with something they do not understand, which is cool, because to me, as someone who, you know, like anxiety, depression, like that stuff people don't understand, and it's like depression game. Like, play this game if you want to understand depression, but this sounds like there isn't like a thing you need to understand. It's just how to understand, how to feel when you're not understanding something. Do you understand?
I feel like there's a whole other level of understanding I'm not getting here.
Now I'm confused. Okay, let's start over. Well, welcome to the Gamers Inn.
So there's this game.
Okay, the Beginner's Guide.
And it just, I don't even know how to describe it. And I don't even know what's a spoiler and what's not a spoiler, because it just felt like, and I think I'm at the end of the game, but honestly, I got sick and tired of waiting, because there's a couple of points where you're just kind of floating and stuff normally happens after the floating, but there's nothing, like I was probably floating for like 3 minutes and then I was just like, okay, that's it. I got to walk away. Like, I really wanted to know what the end was, but then this is why, I mean, I don't even think that there is an end. And I'm just like, ugh.
So, okay.
I feel like I'm just so 100% frustrated right now.
Yeah.
Frustrated, and like, I don't understand. And maybe that's the point. I don't know.
I'm sensing that.
It kind of chronicles the games developed by this Coda developer.
Right.
From 2008 until June 2011. And then the mod Stanley Parable came out at the end of July 2011. And there are a bunch of aspects of all these other little games that really reminded me of bits and pieces of Stanley Parable, except that I felt like I was actually having fun and moving forward in Stanley Parable. In Beginner's Guide, I just felt like lost and anxious and depressed.
So are you, and I think that's okay. You're nailing it. You're understanding what it's like not to understand something. Because think about it. When you don't understand something, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel depressed and anxious and
kind of like, I don't frustrated. Know why I played this game. Like,
because you wanted to be frustrated, anxious, and depressing before you had to go on and do a show. That's exactly why you did it. So should I play this game? Is the question. Okay. And I know in the past we've said, like, you know, using meh as an opinion is invalid, but as well kind of falls in that category, but I might let you have it with this one, because I'm looking.
Okay, let me put it this way.
Okay.
My life has not changed as a result of playing this game. I am neither happier nor sadder nor more entertained nor less entertained. It is like the most neutral experience I've ever had in my life. I'm just kind of like, eh, so that existed.
Okay. But there's nothing. I understand. I do. But how does that make... No, I'm just joking.
oh my God.
So I'm just... I just so I understand, and for those who are listening, like, Is this something you've ever experienced before in video games?
In a video game?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I mean, Stanley Parable would probably be the closest thing, but that I found fun and entertaining and different every time. This was just...
weird?
Yeah, weird. Okay. Unfinished is probably a good word for it. And I'm not just saying that because I spent the last 3 minutes of the game floating and I'm not sure if there is a finish. I mean, just in general, it felt a little bit... I don't know. I'm sure that there's some thought experiment slash big overarching point that I'm missing or something. But I was just like, I sat down for something that might have like a little bit of a sense of humor to it, maybe. But it just didn't at all. It was not what I thought it was going to be.
So what it's a
Hachikumo totally nailed it. It's like watching a sport that you don't care about.
It's
like
ouch.
Being stuck for like hours. Not even doing something because you're not even actively doing anything. You're just basically like walking and occasionally pressing like your action button. But basically you're just walking. It's like a guided movie. It's the least interactive of any adventure game I've played so far. And yeah, it feels like 2 hours of watching something that you don't understand and you're really not interested in.
And you feel like
you're totally missing the point. And like everyone else who has ever touched, played, or watched this game probably is getting way more out of it than you are. Like you feel like you're missing the point. You feel like you're just wrong.
I'm still tempted. Like I have it, so I'm going to play it. I meant to actually play it so we could discuss it. But I think this is actually a better way to go about it, is to have one of us play it and then have another one of us play it and see where we, you know, come together, as opposed to having dueling thoughts. It's one side of the conversation, then the other. I'm intrigued. I mean, it feels, you know what it feels like to me from someone from the outside, having listened to a bunch of people talk about it, a bunch of people write about it and saying like, this is an experience worth having. This is, you know, an experiment in video games worth experiencing. And it's like, okay, I'll check it out. And I think saying from the creator of the Stanley Parable is both a key piece of information to the game, because like you say,
and they start that, like, even if you hadn't read the Steam page, like it literally starts off with hi, because it's the developer is narrating it. And he says, like, hi, I'm Davey. I created the Stanley Parable, and I want to share these games created by my friend Coda, blah, blah, blah. That's literally the first sentence of the beginner's guide.
So do you think it's like, I need to find this really weird web page, but for a friend kind of thing? Like, is that what's happening? Like, these are the games my friend made. He's kind of messed up, but don't worry. It's my friend, not me. Is that what's happening?
I feel like it might be like a split personality I don't even know. Like, I don't know.
Well, I just feel, the point I was getting at is I feel like I understand why it says from the creator of Stanley Parable in service of the story in the game. But I think for most people, they see that as, oh, this is going to be a funny British man talking to me about playing his game wrong. Sweet. And that was my initial reaction about, ooh, this guy's made another game. I can't wait to try it. And it's not the same comedic experience, you know, which is what I really enjoyed in the Stanley Parable. It was hilarious.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted. I wanted something. I guess it was my fault because I have not heard anything about this whatsoever. I saw Patrick tweet about it a few weeks ago and basically said, oh, man, the beginner's guide from the makers of Stanley Parable, I'm in. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm in too. Yay. And that's totally the extent of like anything that I've ever seen, heard, read about this game is like that one tweet from Patrick and then that little blurb on Steam. So I'm just kind of like, meh. That's like, I wish I'd had a little bit more information. Maybe I wasn't in the right headspace or I don't know, but one way or another, that was just a weird freaking video game experience. And I don't know if I would do it again. I don't even know if I'm gonna go back to it and try to figure out if there actually is an end to the game or not. Like, I think I might be okay just leaving it.
I think there's an end. I think you should
like there's an actual like defined end.
Yeah, because most people are are commenting it as a, on it as a complete experience. And the fact that the Steam page says it's an hour and a half experience, I think you can finish. Like, if you got another half hour of floating to do, like, that sucks. But, I mean, you got to do what you
have to do. I don't know. I must have been, like, right at the end of the game when I stopped then, because I started it just after, I guess, 6 o'clock, and Gamers In starts at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, I guess I must have been playing for about an hour and a half.
Maybe it all makes sense at the end.
I must be right at the end. I must be right at the end. But I was just like, I've been floating for like 3 minutes. I have to go. I have a show. So,
did you find the terminal videos? Is that what you, maybe you didn't find the terminal videos. That's the problem. Maybe.
I am really, really glad, though, that I didn't choose to stream it. Because at first I was like, oh, man, I'll stream it. It'll be so much fun. Not fun. And you can't even, like, talk because the narrator's pretty much talking the whole time.
Right.
So it would literally just be me walking through these games, like this experience. I don't even know how else to describe it. So, yeah, I'm really glad I didn't stream it. You guys would have been like bored to tears.
Well, that's the other thing too, is that I was looking at the Steam page and it's getting fairly good, you know, user reaction, which is surprising, you know, because that's my first reaction, is that like, oh man, if they're saying this is from the creator of Stanley Parable, making that a big point, the internet's going to be upset. But it's getting, it's got user reviews, 86%, very positive. Huh. I mean, user reviews aren't the best barometer of success, but on Steam, it's usually pretty spelling when you've got high positive reviews. So I have it. I'll check it out.
Try it. Yeah, I am interested to see what you think, because like I said, I feel like I just don't understand the rules or the point, and I'm just I feel like everyone else is going to understand, and they're just going to be like, Dawson, you're so stupid. What do you mean that you didn't understand the whole point of existence from watching and playing this game?
But see, this I'm going to be like, this is the thing, is that what you're describing is probably what the developer wanted you to feel. Like, you are now understanding what it's like to feel like you don't understand, like thinking other people are getting it, feeling anxious, feeling depressed, like, unless I'm reading into the game too much, you know? Like, I don't know. I just know that these weird thought experiments in video games sometimes catch people off guard, and sometimes it clicks for some because they've had some sort of experience with that. And I mean, I'm not saying, you know,
like
I said,
there were a couple of parts in the game specifically that were dealing with anxiety that really resonated with me, because I'm a very anxious person. Mm-hmm. I have really crazy intense nerves, and podcasting has helped, but I still have, I know a lot of people who listen to the show and who listen to me on Angry Chicken have realized I pause a lot, I say a lot, I say like a lot, and it's because I'm literally terrified of what's going to come out of my mouth next. So podcasting has helped me, but I'm still a very like nervous, anxious person. So there were points in the game where I was just like, I know exactly what this feels like. And like, so that's where the game got interesting for me, because it resonated with me as an experience. But there was a whole lot of the game that I was just kind of like, okay.
On to the next point is what, you know, that's unfortunate.
So, but I don't know, maybe it'll be a different experience for you. Maybe you'll have the exact same experience. I'm interested to see what you think anyways, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So other than the beginner's guide, I didn't really play too much other than, well, I mean, I did play Hearthstone, but we're not talking about Hearthstone.
We both played Hearthstone. At this point, we're both not allowed to talk about Hearthstone on the show.
I just can't talk about Hearthstone at all anymore. But one thing I'm really looking forward to playing, getting back into, because I haven't touched it in a couple of months, is actually Warcraft. There was a patch 6.2.3, I believe. Patch notes came out today. And there's two super awesome mounts. One is a reward for raiding, and it's the moose. And it looks really super cool. It's got all glowy antler bits and stuff, and I really like it. So you have to get a heroic or mythic kill on Archimonde, who I believe is the last boss of Hellfire Citadel, which is the last raid in Warlords. So it's basically the same as the, I think it was, whatever the mount was that dropped off of Garrosh in Siege of Orgrimmar.
Yeah,
it's the same sort of idea. You have to get to the end of the raid content to get the drop for the mount. As far as I know, it drops for everybody, so you only have to get one kill. but it is on heroic or mythic difficulty, which are the two hardest out of the four raid difficulties. So I have to try to get a team together or find a team who is really good and who doesn't mind taking me along with them. But one way or another, I'm going to try and get that mount. The other mount that it's actually probably the coolest looking one in the game. It is an infinite dragonflight mount.
Okay.
And it's a random drop from any time walking dungeon boss. So time walking is where they kind of go back to old content and give you like up the difficulty of the bad guys, give you gear that's appropriate to like your max level characters. It's a really cool way to kind of go and revisit some old content.
So it's a remastering is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
So I haven't done raiding since 6.0. I haven't done any time walking at all whatsoever, and I haven't PvP'd since 6.2 because they wrecked Ashran. So I literally haven't played WoW in like 2 months other than just to like log in and do a couple of little, not even garrison things. Mm-hmm. I think I logged in for maybe an hour just to like check my mail and make sure I was still in the guild, and then I logged out again. So I haven't played hardly at all. But this patch, I really, really want to get back into it. I've been reading on the flights to and from Toronto this past weekend. I was actually reading some of my Warcraft novels, and I was like, oh man, I really want to get back into this content, into this world.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the patch notes dropped today, and I was like, oh man!
that moose looks pretty badass. And I mean, like, a lot of people are probably like, oh man, Canadians, they love their meese, but like, it looks so cool.
Nothing to do with, okay, totally nothing to do with being Canadian. Let's see.
They have moose elsewhere, don't they? Like,
okay, so first I'm just gonna show everybody, hang on, we're gonna add screen region. Yeah. And we're gonna grab this.
Oh, okay. Wow, you click on it and you can see the whole thing.
Yeah, there you go. So this is the super duper cool infinite dragon mount. He looks freaking awesome. I can't wait to have that. I think it's going to be really, really, really cool.
And that's from time walking.
That's from time walking dungeons. And then we've got, hang on, let me find the moose. All right, here we go. So add screen region, best radio ever.
Yeah, for sure.
Boom. Right over Ryan's face.
I am now a dragon. Fear me. Or, nope, you know.
Nope. You were a moose.
Oh, so, damn it.
So this is the moose mount. He is so freaking cool. Glowy antler bits.
Yeah, well.
It reminds me a whole lot of Malorn, who's his art on his Hearthstone card. It looks very, very similar. Obviously, Malorn is not a moose, but still.
He's got a badass nose ring, too.
Super badass.
That's how you know he's cool. And he's got a horn, so if you ever need to blow a horn, it's right there.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you think you could like store stuff in his antlers?
Maybe extra inventory space. I
you
like
put
it.
Vendors in there. Vendors. Yeah, because it's one of those mounts. I don't know, I think it looks cool. I'm gonna be honest, mounts for me were never a thing I sought after in WoW, and I think it has to do with the fact that I tried to do the long strange trip once.
Ah.
And
which I have completed.
Yeah. I think I every year around Halloween I remember, oh right, I should finish that. Because I think I got Halloween, Christmas, and the one in between that to do, and I've got it. But I don't know, I think ever since then I haven't really been so keen on collecting mounts, but I do love, I don't know, for some reason I love collecting pets in the game, but only through like pre-orders and stuff, not actually going out and getting them. It's weird. I'm
trying to think. I think I left off at like 98 or maybe 99 mounts. Like I am just short of the first like mountain of mounts achievement, because I think you get it at like 100 mounts. I think it might actually be every 50, so 100, 150, 200, and 250. I think 250 is the highest you can actually get so mm-hmm. far in the game, like the highest amount of mounts that there's an achievement for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm just short of the 100 mounts.
Okay, well, you should go get that moose or that dragon when this patch lands. Do we know when the patch is coming?
It's just going up on the PTR, I think, next week, which means it's still a ways out. And they're also ending season 2 of Warlords PvP whenever this patch goes live. So that, I think last time we had about a month of a heads up when season 1 was going to end. So that's the other thing. I need to go start grinding some PvP before the season ends, because I've literally played like 2 weeks of season 2 and that was it. So
right. So do we think as the premiere Let's Talk About World of Warcraft podcast, I'm just throwing it out there, that's probably us. Don't do your research, totally. Folks. is this the last patch before 7? Before Legion, the yes, pre-Legion things
so.
Come to
you yeah, think so? it is, because they said that there's no more major content patches, so there's no more raids, there's no more dungeons, nothing crazy like that. They're just putting stuff like this in. Apparently, the Moose Mount, like killing Archmon, getting that drop, and then returning it to Moonglade, actually, that quest line will tell you the story that kind of closes the gap between Warlords and Legion. So I'm really interested to see where it goes, but I think we're going to get Legion pretty quickly. I think we're going to get a release date announced at BlizzCon. So
you think it'll be like Burning Crusade type? This is before you played WoW, I think. But
yeah,
Burning Crusade slipped. Now, it was originally supposed to launch, I think, in late November, then slipped like, I think, right before Christmas or during the Christmas holidays. It's so hard to remember. I remember playing it, getting back from the holidays with friends in college. But it's crazy to think that it's possible we could see a release date this year, but it's still pretty iffy. But we thought that about Legacy of the Void. So I don't know. At this point, I really don't know. Like, what's your prediction? Do you think we get it like early next year? That's probably a safe bet.
I think early next year. I think we're probably looking at February or March. I don't think that we're going to see it this year, only because if we're going to get a few weeks of lead time, they have said that there is going to be a Warlords Season 3 PvP season. So since we're going to have Season 2 and Season 3, they're not going to have a season of PvP that's a month long. So I think we're probably looking at Season 2 wrapping up sometime in early to mid-November, probably after BlizzCon. And then we're going to see Warlords Season 3 go kind of like December, January, February, and then we'll have Legion launch in like March.
Okay. Oh, and Barber in the chat room is saying BC released in January 15th, 07.
2007. Oh, yeah. Ryan, you're so old.
I was in college. There are people in the chat room saying, Jocelyn, you just called us all old. and that's not what they sound like. That's just me putting on a voice. But that's cool. I'm glad that you're back into WoW. I'm glad that you're playing Destiny.
I haven't actually logged in. I did go into my Armory app today when I saw the patch drop, and I was like, okay, what kind of achievements do I still need to do in Ashran? Like, where am I slacking in Warlords? Am I still in AIE? Turns out, yes, I am. They didn't kick me out, which is awesome, because I haven't been active for a really long time, so I was like, uh-oh, I hope they haven't actually kicked me. But they didn't, so yay! Thanks, AIE!
they're pretty diligent in
they kicking are, people. They because are. They need to be. If you're inactive for like 2 months, then they're just like, boom, gone.
I'm gone. I'm probably kicked to the curb, and that's fine. You know, like, I'm a wanderer. I usually just jump into the guild because that's where all my friends are playing, and I do play actively for a good couple months, and we were raiding there for a bit, and I think once Legion gets a release date, I'll re-up, but right now, although that probably is not going to happen, I'm talking as if January is this wide open schedule.
How long did it take me to convince you to sub for Warlords? Like, it took forever.
It's because there... No, I subbed before Warlords came out. My opinion on the matter was always I needed content. And if I had already finished all of Mists and Warlords was not out yet, it was like, well, what was I going to do? I did end up subbing and getting gear so we could raid, and that was content worth playing for me. And I really enjoyed that. Although, man, it's tough to get 10 friends together. Although in Destiny, all you need is 6.
Oh, there you go. It is tough to get 10 friends together, and that's why I'm a little bit worried about Heroic. I'm just like, oh, man, like, how am I going to pull that off? But future Jocelyn will worry about that. It's totally fine. It's fine.
It's not present Jocelyn's problem to worry about right now.
Exactly. So, Ryan, did you want to talk about this one last thing, or do you want to just move on? Because we have news.
I will quickly say, like everybody else on the internet, all 9 million of you, I played Star Wars Battlefront the beta. You've probably heard everything you need to know. It's Star Wars. Us at the Gamers Inn don't really. We like Star Wars.
We like Star Wars okay.
This is the best Star Wars game I've ever played.
Nice.
There's not that many great Star Wars games, in my opinion. And my opinion, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot. But I did record some video of it. I put it in the chat room. The beta was. You could play Pod Control, which was basically Capture the Flag. And then you played like a Walker Assault, which was this huge battle where you were either the Rebels or the Imperials. And the Imperials had giant AT-ATs or AT-ATs, depending on how annoying you want to be. And the Rebels had blasters. At least that's all I could figure out how to do, shoot people. It just looks fantastic. Did you see any sort of video or screenshots of Battlefront?
No, Star Wars has really not been on my radar.
I will say this, I don't really like multiplayer shooters, but this one actually clicked with me because the gunplay is slower. Because you're fighting with these laser guns, it's not like machine guns where you go, and if you hit him in the head, oh, he's down. You know, right. In this, it's you have lasers and they fire like pew, 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 pew. And
so you kind of have to think and aim and time things a little bit more than just spray.
Yeah, it gives you more time to miss, to hit. And if you get hit a couple times, you still have a chance to get away. And I'm glad I tried the beta because it's convinced me at the very least that if enough people come to me and say we should be playing Battlefront, I'll have a more informed opinion to say, yeah, let's play Battlefront. But I haven't pre-ordered it yet because I'm still, I don't know, there's just so much coming out. And this game comes out the week after stuff. What is it? Fallout and Tomb Raider.
Blah, 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 blah.
The 10th. The day, the black hole of time, you know,
right.
The 10th. So I don't know if you're into Battlefront. I enjoyed it. I don't think there's more betas because the game comes out in a month. But yeah, watch that video. You'll get a good idea of what was in the beta and what to expect when the game launches.
Cool. So we just wanted to give a quick thank you to our patrons. If you want to become a patron of The Gamers Inn, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersinn. They bring you all kinds of cool content every week that wouldn't be possible without their support. So head on over to patreon.com and join in the fun. Yeah. We have random news this week as our topic of the week. First of all, we have Overwatch beta news. Oh my God. Ah!
It's happening.
It's happening.
Finally.
So on October 27th, we are getting a closed Overwatch beta, which will be invite only. I have heard that it's going to be mostly popular streamers, popular YouTubers. So they're doing their very slow release in their closed beta. Hopefully they'll open it up a little bit quicker than they did with Heroes, but remains to be seen. We have a 2016 release date, I believe, right?
Yeah. Excuse me. I that was not a comment on Overwatch, even though I'm doing that thing where I feign interest so I don't have to worry about playing too many games. Halo 5 comes out the same day as we discussed. Mm-hmm. I think they're aiming for 2016, but it is a, like you said, a very closed beta, although they are going to be scheduling open beta weekends, or at least a wider release beta, the
Which
first one hitting
cool.
after BlizzCon. So,
I mean, we're hopefully going to get a chance to at least get our hands on it for a weekend, which would be really neat because I am really, really, really looking forward to playing Overwatch. I have been ever since we saw the trailer at BlizzCon last year. I literally turned and looked at Dills and was just like, oh my God, I am getting so into this game.
Yeah, the characters, for me, the characters look really good. I don't know how well I'll do in a first-person shooter like this. I have not played it. You've played it, right? You got your hands on
it
at BlizzCon?
Yeah, I played it at BlizzCon last year. And see, this is the thing. Like, it was literally a whole entire year ago that I had my hands on this game. And it was really fun at the time. Got my ass totally handed to me because I'd never played a game like it before. And basically, we got to play it right at the end of the con, so everyone, like, there were people that just kept lining up, playing a match, and lining up again. Like, they were literally going through, and I was just getting totally, completely owned. Our whole team was. And so I was just kind of like, well, that was an experience, but watching people play really well and seeing all the different strategies and all the different heroes and stuff that you could pick up, it was really, really cool. I was really into it. I'm still really into it and looking forward to seeing exactly what they do with it. So I'm excited. I want to get my hands on it. I want to play it. I think I'm going to get like way, way into it. I'm not going to probably get into any kind of an Overwatch podcast, but I am going to stream a lot, I think, and try to get a kind of core group together. Like, we have our core Smite group and do maybe, like, you know, we got Smite night every week.
Smite night.
Doing Overwatch night every week and just it's kind of rhyme. Have some fun with it. So
didn't even try. It's got a rhyme. Overwatch.
Watch.
Swatch. No, that's just adding an S to watch. But it Swatch is a word.
It is.
Overnight.
So you got that.
Overnight. Wait, did I say overnight? Oh, yeah. Oh.
No, no.
Whatever. We'll figure it out off here. Overwatch, really cool. I'm looking forward to it. Any new Blizzard franchise that comes out is an instant try and an instant sort of classic, right? Like, they make great games, and they wouldn't be pushing this game on us if it wasn't great. That's kind of how the company works. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm also not looking forward to the fact that I never get into the Blizzard betas. So maybe, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe because it's coming out on the same day as Halo 5, I'll actually get in, and that'll be...
And then you'll have a choice to make, and then you'll be like, no, universe!
Yeah.
For me, it's just like, if I get in day one, which I don't think I will, but just on the off chance, then it would be pretty hilarious, because I'm literally, like, leaving for Garrett's wedding, like, the next day, and I'm gone till like the middle of November. So just kind of like, man, Blizzard. Oh man,
I just had a thought.
What?
It's not, don't worry, it's not a terrible name or something for our days. I'm still working on that for our Overwatch nights, but weekend after BlizzCon is Extra Life. If they're doing a wider release closed beta on that weekend, we could play this for Extra Life.
We could totally play Overwatch for Extra Life. We have to play StarCraft for Extra Life. Like, we have so many games to play during Extra Life, I think my brain might explode. So,
but that's why we have 24 hours.
We do have 24 hours, and yeah, I'm super stoked. But so we should just remind everyone that November 7th and November 14th, we're doing the Extra Life charity. Mm-hmm. Our page is live, our team is live. If you guys would like to go donate, everything goes to help the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals, and that is at bit.ly/TGI2015, TGI all caps. Any little bit of support you can give us is awesome. If you can't donate money, you can also donate your followers by tweeting out or Facebooking or whatever your social network of choice is. Just share the link.
Yeah,
And everything goes to help the kids. And actually, that reminds me, which I can't remember if we mentioned it last week or not, but all of the patron money that we earn this month at patreon.com/thegamersin is going to be turned right around and sent to our Extra Life campaign. So if you are currently a patron for The Gamers Inn, then just know that your contribution for October is going to go into our Extra Life campaign. So thank you in advance for supporting the show, for supporting the kids. We have so much fun Extra Life every year. So ours will be, our big main event will be on the 14th, because BlizzCon is on the 7th. So Ryan and James are going to do some cool, fun streaming on the 7th, but our 24-hour stream will be on the 14th.
We talked, James and I sort of threw some ideas around, and I had a fun idea, because we are going to be experiencing BlizzCon alongside everybody else that isn't at BlizzCon. So we're going to be at home at our computers, and we thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool to play a Blizzard game where they made a bunch of announcements and actually talk about the announcements while we're playing the game? So you're going to be able to hang out with us, play BlizzCon games, talk BlizzCon announcements with us in the chat on Skype. And all in the name of charity for children. The details are still being tossed around, but that's the main idea we're throwing around. And I think it's the closest thing James and I could do to get to BlizzCon, I think.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I will make sure that if I have any very strong opinions, because those
are things that come along
to me very rarely, really.
Well, and in the
I'll make sure I'm texting you and letting you know.
Yeah, and it's always in the thick of the moment. So if there's like a Hearthstone adventure, and James and I are talking about Hearthstone, and I won't speak for James, but I'm not that great at Hearthstone and don't understand a lot about it. So if we discuss it and discuss it wrong, I'll have crib notes from Jocelyn. Oh, crib note here. No, Ryan, you're wrong. This is actually really cool. This adventure about, I don't know, probably, what do you think? Ponyland? No, that's not a thing.
It's going to be a raid. So it'll be a raid from, like, they're all the adventures are raids. So
you think they'll do, they should do.
Hoping for Ice Crown or Ulduar. Yeah.
But then they already did Nax, though.
Yeah,
they won't do Ice Crown again. That's like the same sort of motif, isn't it?
Ice Crown and Nax?
Isn't it? What's Ice Crown?
Isn't Ice Crown is like where the Lich King was.
Yeah, but it was all the same. Like, icy. Yeah, but it's all the same death dudes and the plague crap and... You don't think?
Death dudes and plague crap.
I like barbers.
Telling Garrett.
What? That's, don't tell Garrett.
That's his most favorite raid of all.
I'm not discounting the raid, Jocelyn and Garrett. I'm discounting the fact that they are kind of, to me, as a newbie, the sort of overall theme,
is
very similar.
I see. Well, yeah. It could be Kara.
Kara's a good one. Although they already put Medivh in as a hero, so
yeah, that is true. Really, no one knows what they're going to do, but it could be really anything. I'm excited for.
Me because I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's true. Yeah. So the other random piece of news that we got this week is that Twilight Princess HD has been data mined out of the eShop. Was that what it was?
Yeah, the eShop. So they found all they found. Which this is like, the story going around is like Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD spotted for Wii U. Then you read the article, they literally found the icon that is on for Twilight Princess on your on the eShop. Now, for all those who remember a while ago,
I thought they found an item number too, and the description was Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it all started with an icon.
Yeah, but then they data mined further, and yeah, there's an actual item number and a title. So
there is a listing for Twilight. Okay, well, that's good then. I'm glad I read a little bit through, because to me it sounded like it could have just been like a Wii release, but the fact that they haven't put a Wii release out could
a re-release, but Wii?
Nintendo should have called it that, although... You know, Reddit might have got onto that and maybe turned it into something a little not so great.
Oh, but, yeah. Release your Wii.
Yeah. Free your Wii. Free your Wii. Yeah, repeat it again, Ryan. That's how the funny works. Twilight Princess HD, I think, would be... Like, they did a really great job with Wind Waker HD. And a news story actually broke when Wind Waker came out, in that when they were trying to figure out a way to bridge the gap between the long wait from Skyward Sword to the next Wii U Zelda, they thought, okay, let's re-release an old Zelda game. And they looked at both, they got both Wind Waker and Twilight Princess running on the new hardware. And when they looked at both side by side, they thought that Wind Waker showed a better sort of upgrade, so because of the way the graphics were sort of built on the GameCube with cell shading and whatnot. So the groundwork's already been created, and they had Twilight Princess running on the Wii U in some sort of format. So a lot of the groundwork was already done. So the only reason I see this happening is because Zelda for Wii U is no longer Zelda for Wii U, which is very disappointing for me.
Yeah, that does give me a little bit of a sad... But at the same time, it means that I don't have to buy a Wii U. I can just buy whatever the next thing is, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so, you wouldn't have to buy a Wii U. And
I'm kind of okay with just skipping a generation of Nintendo, because they were just so far behind. If the Wii U had come out back when like Xbox 360 and PS3 came out, then... Yeah. I would have really wanted it, but I feel like it was like they're in between. They were late to the game. I mean, they're still a couple of years behind now because of the way that their console kind of rollout happened. So they're now behind on this generation, but at least I feel like the next offering that they're going to have, it will probably play a lot of the Wii U, if not all the Wii U games, and it'll just kind of be their like catch up, like new offering right at the kind of cutting edge of technology, which the Wii U was not. So the Wii U was just catching up. So this, I think, will be on par with things that are available, if not a little bit better, and Nintendo will go from there.
I think that the NX is in a good position to put Nintendo at a point, hardware-wise, that they wouldn't have to spend a lot of money making hardware that is on par with the PS4 and Xbox One. And the fact that Sony and Microsoft have sort of stood their ground on this is a console generation to beat all console generations. Like the Xbox One and PS4 aren't going anywhere soon, so that gives Nintendo actually a good opportunity to introduce new hardware at a cheaper price that does similar graphics. Mm-hmm. Whether that fixes the third-party problem, they're going to have to do a little bit more than put out on-par hardware. They're going to have to get out there and start kissing EA's ass, and you know, nobody wants to under that thing. So, or Ubisoft for that matter. But yeah, it's exciting news. But the fact that it's breaking now means, and it's in the eShop, could mean it's coming sooner than we think. But with that could come, you know, bad news that we're not getting Zelda for Wii U.
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, if it's already up in the eShop, then there's a really good chance it'll be available like holiday season sort of thing. So they we might it. See an announcement in a few weeks, especially now that it's been leaked. So it'd be yeah. interesting to see what happens here on out. But you're right. I think that means that we're probably not getting a Zelda for Wii U. But
yeah,
maybe that means that the new Nintendo system is closer than we think. So
well, they're going to detail in 2016. It'll probably be... I wouldn't see it out... Yeah, I mean, maybe it comes out late 2016, early 2017, but we'll see.
Wouldn't it be crazy if it was like E3 and they were just like, available next week?
Funny enough, a company has already done that and they're no longer around. Like I think Sega did that with the Sega Saturn, where they're like, guess what? It's out right now. Go to EB Games and pick it up. It's like there were no games for it. You know, there was like 5 systems per store. They had a really bad like... chain to get the systems into storage. It did not work and totally floundered. But yeah, Nintendo needs like my last point on this is that Nintendo needs a game in the holiday season, like a Nintendo game. Like since Zelda slipped, Star Fox slipped, Mario Tennis has taken over the typical Nintendo November release. And like I mean, come on, like I
picture Mario with a tennis racket going like, really?
Mamma mia, really? How am I gonna do this? You know, like, I can't plumb a shit with this tennis racket. And what is happening? I don't know, but I think...
What is happening?
Yeah. Mamma mia. Yeah. I played that tennis game, and it's fun. It's solid, but it's not... It's not Wii U now.
You would expect out of a holiday release from a major company.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're spot on when it comes to Twilight Princess HD. Like getting an announcement mid-November for a release in December for Christmas, and it'll just be like a eShop parting gift for those of us who have actually bought and convinced others to buy a Wii U this year. I got a couple.
So hard, Ryan.
I got a couple. I'm not gonna lie.
You worked real hard.
I am having fun.
So I wanted to remind everyone that we do game night every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Our patron hangout is going to be delayed by 1 week because Ryan is going to be away tomorrow night. So you guys just have me. I don't know what we're playing this week, but next week, by popular demand, we are going to be playing that Keep Talking So Nobody Explodes or whatever it's called. Is that literally what it's called?
That's what it's called. Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
No one explodes. Nobody explodes. Anyways. Yeah. And we actually have a couple of copies to give away, so we'll be detailing what we're going to do with that over on our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/thegamersin. Go check it out. But for tomorrow, I don't know what we're going to play, so we'll have to see. I'm wide open for whatever you guys want to give a try. So we've got a few different options. I think there's been some updates to Dungeon Defenders 2 again, so hopefully that will actually be playable this time. But yeah, so I mean, we've got all kinds of options, so I look forward to hanging out with you guys tomorrow night. Cool. That brings us to our listener feedback section. We got an email this week that I think is specifically to you, Ryan, so I think you better take it.
Yeah, every time an email comes in like this, my heart just sinks, and then I keep reading, and then I'm like, oh, okay, phew. So L-Train writes in, Ryan, I would like to say that I hate you for making me spend hours, and this is a point where I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, no. It's no, one what of those did I do? Emails.
We never get those emails, though, because L-Train goes on to say, for making me spend hours of my life listening to Hunt the Truth. After one episode, I was completely hooked and locked myself in a room so I could binge listen to everything that I was currently out. When season 2 episode 4 came out yesterday, which was fantastic, I listened to it at the first opportunity. I haven't played Halo since 2, no 360, and now have this need to play all of it as soon as I can. I hate you for this. Love you and Joss for everything else. Peace. So, I'm so sorry.
He loves me.
Well, no, he says love you. But you.
He loves me. Yeah.
He has a love-hate relationship with me, which is fine. Yeah. Most people do. It's all good. But what I would suggest, L-Train, is that if you're really into Halo, is go pick up an Xbox One, get the Master Chief Collection, And then you can play all the Halos, even the ones you have already played, even the ones you have not played. All of them except for Reach, which is unfortunate because that's a really good one. Plus there's, what was it? Our Gamers In episode callback was our the butts in Reach that we were infatuated with, right? You don't remember that, do you?
I think so.
Yeah. There's just one thing about each episode that we did Road to Halo 4. There was always that one thing I can remember about each of them. And with Reach, it was the butts. It was like suit armor, badonkadonk, or something.
Yeah, there was something about badonkadonk in the episode title. I remember that now.
Yeah. Halo 4 is probably the most memorable one because Terpster coined it like getting rampant with
Cortana. Rampant with Cortana, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm glad, L-Train, you're enjoying it. I've had a few people actually tweet me and say they've really been enjoying Hunt the Truth, and it's just probably the best piece of marketing that I've seen out there, hands down. So kudos to the multi-billion-dollar company known as Microsoft for doing good
advertising. Putting something together that's half decent.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's it for us because, let me see.
Last email.
This is just detailing who suggested keep talking and no one explodes, right? So thank you, Daniel, for the suggestion.
Yeah, that video is pretty intense. So if,
it's so intense. I'm actually a little bit worried about how we're going to do in this game.
It'll be a lot of fun. We'll play around with it. We'll experiment. And the copies we'll give to other folks. You don't actually need a copy to play the game, but you do need a copy to
be the diffuser,
and you can either do that with us on stream. We'll try to figure out a way, but worst case scenario, you can go out and play with your friends and have a good time and stream it and get even more people to play the game, and that's the whole
point.
If
nothing else, I mean, you guys are going to get to tell me what to do, so
yeah,
bossing Jocelyn around has got to be worse.
What Patreon hangouts are for? It's just like there are bosses and they have to tell us what to do, and in this case, at least they're saving our lives, right?
I think that's the premise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the opposite of defusing a bomb? You know, everybody explodes.
That is true.
As the title, right?
So uplifting.
Yeah. Positivity.
So if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, The Angry Chicken, and The Angry Nerd.
Hmm. That's not in there.
I know. I just added it because I've forgotten it for the last couple of weeks, and so I remembered it this time. But The Angry Nerd is Garrett's new one-person monologue-y solo show thing, and it's really pretty good. Damn good. So yeah. Check out The Angry Nerd, available now on AMOVE TV. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMOVETV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you're playing, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.